This episode brought to you by Own the Gray podcast. Discover how others age with attitude at ownthegray.ca. The best conversations happen when we're having lunch with our friends, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair and join us to expand your knowledge and open your mind.
My guest today, Carolyn Hauser, is a German-trained naturopathic doctor, humanistic psychotherapist, and family constellations facilitator. Many couples struggle in relationships, thinking they just need better communication strategies. Carolyn has found that rather than focusing on strategies or doing therapy, couples are helped most by learning about a new way of lovemaking, namely bonding-based lovemaking. Carolyn is the author of Blossom, Your Seven Steps to Sexual Healing. She's an internationally recognized speaker and teacher on the subjects of spirituality, relationships, emotional healing, and bonding-based lovemaking. And welcome, Carolyn, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. So today we're going to learn all about bonding-based lovemaking. But first, please explain exactly what you do.
That is a great question. Well, first, most of the time I boggle people's mind at first a little bit because my purpose really is to bring peace and harmony to intimate relationships, my own and people around me. And in my own journey, I've had a lot of relationship struggles. And so I was really desperate and willing enough to just basically go to the end of the world, you know, and leave no stone unturned to really find answers. And some of the answers that I found are somewhat mind-boggling. So part of what I do is educate people about this new paradigm that is available to us. And then the other part is really help them transition into it. And that has to do with helping them retrain their minds and helping them clear trauma and helping them understand energy and helping them work with their own energy. Okay. In a nutshell.
Okay, that's perfect. You're going to have to describe a bit about your own journey to actually how you found bonding-based lovemaking.
Yes, yes. And as I alluded to, my journey that I remember really started before I was even born. I do remember being up in heaven, you know, it looked like a kindergarten on a cloudy, grassy field or something. And Source or God or whatever you want to call it came to us and said, hey, people on earth, men and women don't know how to get along and we really need help. And who wants to go? And my hand raised itself. And somehow I was sent down to earth that I'm born to my parents. And my parents both come from a family of a lot of trauma because I'm German. And so my family is, I'm from German descent. And my grandparents were children during World War II. So there was a lot of trauma in my parents' parents. And therefore, my parents were parented with a lot of, you know, dysfunction. And then my parents were trying to do better, right? But they still had a lot of trauma that wasn't recognized. So My first struggle actually in life was my relationship with myself, because I just had inherited so much, right? Not knowingly, you know, it was kind of like the catalyst for all of it. So I struggled with eating disorders really badly from when I was 10 till 20, basically. And my mom luckily never gave up on me and found family constellations, which is it's a modality that heals intergenerational trauma. And I received one session and the eating disorders went away within 3 months. So that was my first miracle when I was around 20.
Okay, let me stop you there, because I've actually never heard of family constellation therapy. And I want you to go on with your story, but just tell me what that is exactly.
Yeah, it is a modality that basically helps get to the root causes of, you know, so in my case, the eating disorder. And to illustrate it, my eating disorder basically was based in what came out to the process that my grandmother was in an internment camp from when she was 10 to 20. And so my soul, as a descendant of hers, basically I starved myself in loyalty in some attempt to make it better for her, you know, to carry her fate or to just to make it better, because as younger souls, we love everybody and we want to make it better for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it uses a modality to bring the trauma to light and then you release it?
Yeah. And by bringing it to the light, and it's done through basically surrogates. So people will feel it, or I, as the facilitator, the way I do it is I basically step into people's, it is through reading energy and reading the energy field of people. So I use myself as a surrogate, basically to feel what's going on in people's subconscious. And by feeling it and bringing it to the light, I also clear it with that.
Right. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Continue along with your journey to the discovery of bonding-based
love. Yeah. And so all I ever wanted was to find my soulmate, have kids, and, you know, just have normal white picket fence. And when I was suffering from the eating disorders, that seemed so out of reach, because my prognosis, when you have an addiction for 10 years, the prognosis gets worse and worse. So my prognosis for living to be 30 was, or my chances were at 5%, right, when I discovered, when this miracle happened. And so things started getting better in my 20s and early 30s, but I was still just really struggling a lot with men and just not getting along. And then in my early 30s, when my daughter turned three, her turning three triggered my memories of my own childhood sexual trauma, which I hadn't. I had a feeling, you know, that something had to have caused the eating disorders, but I didn't quite know other than with what was going on with my grandma. And so I had to deal with that and just learn a lot around healing and sexual healing. And that really gave, I had started already doing family constellations, but it really gave me a direction in my early 30s. And then later in my 30s, I met my second husband, who I really believe was the love of my life and my true soulmate. And we had so many problems. And I was just willing to do anything. And a friend of mine handed me a book. That book is called Cupid's Poisoned Arrow. And it's really the book on bonding-based lovemaking. And in that book, the author, Marnia Robinson, her story was just very similar to mine. And so I was listening, you know, and that book contains basically nine years of her research and studying and just a lot of work and research. Because what she found basically is that as human beings, and I'm going to segue from my story into bonding-based lovemaking at this point.
That's
a little
fine.
Bit.
That's fine. Good.
Just so that it makes sense.
Yep.
What Marnia found was that as human beings, we have two programs for lovemaking. And when I say programs, they are connected to survival and subconscious. There are subconscious programs that are connected to survival. So they're very strong urges in ourselves, or very strong pathways in our brain in terms of neurochemistry and biochemistry and so forth. So the predicament is that as human beings, most of us only know about the first one, which is connected to procreation.
Right.
And when we stay on that program, nature has programmed us to fall in love and have honeymoon feelings and feel amazing so that we want to make babies. Then we're programmed to make the baby, because nature uses dopamine in our brain as a reward for when we basically have orgasms or are intimate with each other, when we're new with each other. But then nature has also programmed us to get bored with each other and get restless and move on, because it's in nature's interest that we diversify, basically.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so all of this goes on below our surface. And so we just think, you know, our partner changes, or we change, or it's just time, or we have all these false perceptions about why we don't like each other after a little while, you know?
Right.
And Marnia just didn't want to believe that this is true, you know, that it could be true that we like somebody so much, and then over like a few years, we've started hating them, we're not feeling attracted to them. And mm-hmm. She's like, nope, I'm not accepting that. And so what she found is through reading ancient texts and finding ancient practices, but then also really finding proof in neuroscience that we have this second reward system that's connected to bonding. So as human beings, we also have very strong brain chemicals when it comes to bonding to each other, because if we didn't, our species also wouldn't survive.
Right.
You know, we're really not made to survive on our own. Even though we like to think about it and think, you know, we're all independent, we're actually not. And so our brain rewards us for bonding. And there's ways that we can make love where this oxytocin, the bonding hormone, gets released, and where we then don't fall into the trap of getting fed up with each other and getting restless with each other, and stay in a just deeply connected, loving honeymoon feeling, kind of a high with each other.
Okay. We're going to dive deep into this, but to the people who come to you,
yeah,
it's not about them not liking each other. Is it about them being bored and not having intimacy? I mean, mm-hmm. because if there is a couple that is just not simpatico, not compatible,
anymore, yeah,
this is not going to solve this.
Most likely not. No, it's really for couples where they really were super attracted to each other and then it went away and they still love each other. They feel okay. like roommates. They feel like best friends, you know?
Right.
Or if it's a couple that loves each other, but they are just on a mega, and they are sexually intimate still, but they're on a huge roller coaster. People, you know, that just meet and have had either a sexless marriage or either a roller coaster and really want to do it right this time. That's also a group, you know,
okay.
of people.
Well, from what I've learned, this is based on the electromagnetic theory of how the body works, electromagnetism. If I'm correct.
And, yes. And right. and the chemicals, like our neurochemicals and biochemistry in our brain.
Please explain scientifically what this is. I mean, because yes. it's so different than conventional yes. ejaculatory sex.
Yes. Yeah. So to describe, I first have to describe what happens in the brain, just from a neurochemical perspective, when we do have an orgasm and when we do have normal sex or regular sex. So when we have an orgasm, a huge drop of dopamine gets released. And what that does, it jacks up our neurochemicals the same way. And this is proven not by me, but by scientists that do the research on brain scans. It has the same effect as taking cocaine or snorting cocaine or shooting heroin. It makes our brain chemistry go up unnaturally high. And when that happens, unfortunately, it also comes down in the same way.
Exactly.
And so that's what creates the roller coaster, because when our neurochemistry gets so revved up and then drops so much, we start to feel very different. Right? Our perception shifts because we just start to feel shittier, for better or for worse. And then most of us, and this is what starts the addictive cycle, and dopamine is very, very addictive, then we need to do something else, and usually do something even more to stimulate it again, or to stimulate it more just to have the same result, because our brain just kind of gets numb to, you just need more and more, basically. And anybody who's suffered from any kind of addiction, you know, whether it's food or porn or sex or alcohol or whatever, you know what I'm talking about, and you're probably somewhat familiar with, you know, a little bit about dopamine and what it does. Not that it's all bad, but anyways, so that's what happens in that paradigm. When we learn to make love where we don't have an orgasm, not a dopamine spike, let's put it that way, because when I say we don't have orgasm, people are like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I thought that was the point of having sex, you know?
You're right. And everyone's, a large group are now turning this off, as you say.
Keep listening, please, because I'm not saying not to have like amazing pleasurable experiences. I'm just saying we want to train our brain to get the high from a different chemical substance other than dopamine.
Right.
And there is a way to do it and to activate it. And oxytocin is really good for us. Oxytocin is a neurochemical that makes us younger, healthier, less prone to stress, that relaxes us. You know, people that have a pet, for example, they live 10 years longer because of it, because they have more oxytocin. And there's many different, you know, kinds of research that really prove that when you have good bonding, when you have lots of oxytocin in your life, you just feel better, your brain works better, and you're just overall more balanced and happy. And it will help you overcome the addiction, because you're replacing, it's not like you're going cold turkey, you know, taking your brain off dopamine and not having anything to replace it with. You're replacing it with something that is really good for you and that feels good to you.
Okay. Yeah. And now, how does bonding-based lovemaking work in the body?
Yeah. So most people think that they have done it, because everybody says, oh yeah, I have had sex where we didn't have an orgasm. That is not bonding-based lovemaking. Bonding-based lovemaking is most likely not something that you really have done. You might have had glimpses, because it's really a way of lovemaking where you slow everything way down. And you train yourself away from sex being like a genital act to a full body experience where you learn to circulate. And that's where you were right with the magnetic energy. You learn to circulate your energy from, and so the theory behind it is that the woman's vagina is a minus pole, the woman's heart is a plus pole, the man's heart is a minus pole, and the man's genitals, the penis, is a positive pole. And so when you learn to circulate energy through those poles, feeding each other, right, the woman's heart feeding the man's heart then being able to feed a sexual organ, and then from a sexual organ to feed the woman's heart again, it creates an energy spiral. And it takes a little time to learn to feel it and to really relax enough so that you can feel it flow. I also call this, I'm playing with calling this flow sex, because it is really about getting into a state of flow together where you're deeply relaxed. And at the same time, it's very physically pleasurable, but the pleasure does not come from genital stimulation or genital friction.
Is this another term for tantric sex?
I don't know, because I have never done tantra. I think there is practices in tantra where, you know, you would learn some of this, because definitely what I know about people that have done tantra, you learn to be present, you learn to breathe with each other. But in my understanding, tantra is very much focused on having orgasms and you know, having multiple orgasms and being able to sustain yourself and kind of what's called edging, where you get close and then you stop and you get close and you stop. That is not what we want. You know,
Okay. So are you actually touching each other in this? Are you touching erogenous zones?
Oh, and you have intercourse, you know?
You actually do have intercourse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without orgasm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just literally you slow everything way down, and the man's penis doesn't even have to be hard, you know, because a lot of people think, a lot of guys think, how do I stay hard if I don't move? You would be surprised how when the energy flows, it just makes everything work. And so, you know, even for people that have ED or dry vagina or thin lining of the vagina, where they think they can't have sex anymore, or it's painful, or it doesn't work, this kind of lovemaking brings everything back. It makes penises hard, it makes vaginas wet, it just makes everything work.
Okay, it's great for postmenopausal women who do complain of the things that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. There's so many people that this would be appealing to.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not going to have a quickie doing slow lovemaking. How long?
Yeah, and ideally, you know, ideally it is really a practice. And I think most people get married because they want to have something special. They want to have something sacred, and then they don't have a practice on how to really do it. And for me, the bonding-based lovemaking is really the practice to have a sacred union or have, you know, the special bond. Because it has to do with our brain chemistry, think of it like eating. You know, when you're feeding yourself, you don't just do it once a week, right? If you just fed yourself once a week, you wouldn't care what you would get. You would just eat whatever, and it would just be ravenous and so forth. Right. So with this, it's really about feeding your nervous system, feeding your energy system, feeding your love, feeding your connection, your union every day. And so it becomes a practice. And ideally, you know, you connect in the morning and the evening. And so it doesn't have to be super long, because if you do it every day, the brain gets used to it. And an ideal schedule is like, you know, maybe connecting 30 minutes in the morning, connecting 30 minutes in the evening, and then having two or three times a week where you have spaciousness, you know, where you don't have to rush off, or like a Saturday morning, maybe, or a Wednesday afternoon or something, you know, where you could just, or it could just go on for hours if you wanted to, but it doesn't have to also, you know.
It seems to me that both parties have to understand the energetics of the body. And it seems to me it's a spiritual, more of a spiritual union. There's a belief in this. A strong,
and luckily Marnia does a really, really good job for explaining the signs. Even people that just come to me that say, oh, you know what, I have ED and I just want to be able to have sex with my wife again, when they read the book and read all the signs, and even if they're not that spiritual, you know, it still makes sense from a scientific, you know, so and it can be something very deeply spiritual, or people will get there, you know, will find their spiritual self through it also.
Right. So what are the benefits of this form of lovemaking as compared to conventional lovemaking?
Yeah, so the benefit is really that your relationships don't erode. You are in a in a space of harmony with each other, where you hear each other better, communication problems fall away, things that normally drain relationships, conflicts. Most people somehow are not on the same page after a while in a relationship. This makes you be on the same page, because you are literally, like, when you're in love, you're just different. You hear different, you feel different, you see things different. You're willing to compromise more. You're more cooperative. You're more playful. You're more lighthearted. And so when you are that in your relationship, you become that in your life as a whole also. So if you're in business or if you're in a job, you know, people will notice that you're changing, that you seem happier, that you seem more relaxed. And because of that, your life just in general gets better. Everything gets better. All your relationships, money gets better. You become more confident. You become more courageous. You take on new opportunities. You know, a lot of people really start feeling like they can tackle their purpose and don't have to just work a job. And it's just a process of becoming more of who you truly are. And I know that sounds so cliche, you know, but it truly is, you know, because it's really healthy and authentic. And yeah, and it brings a kind of purity or wholesomeness to your life. So anxiety goes away. People can get off their pain medications. They can get off their depression medications. Chronic pain goes away. Immune system improves, aside from just their relationship benefits.
Yeah, it all makes sense. What do you find is the biggest block when you're trying to teach people this?
Yeah, so it really depends. If somebody has a porn addiction or is really prone to addictions and their brain is very, very hooked on the dopamine, that, you know, that can be a little bit of a challenge. But if it's somebody who's really willing and sees the benefits and it makes sense, then they can, you know, but they have to, like with any addiction, you know, they have to see that their addiction is really a problem, and then they can tackle it. And then the other problem is with attachment style. So as babies, you know, if we didn't have healthy bonding as baby, and often those things cause the proneness to addictions, you know, then we have to heal that, because unless bonding becomes safe to your subconscious, your subconscious will not let you move in that direction. That makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. So for some people, they're releasing traumas to allow them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And that's, you know, that's why when I work with people, I teach them about the bonding-based lovemaking, but at the same time, we do the deep trauma healing work so that they can actually, so that to them, emotionally, it feels safe to actually bond with someone.
Wow. How long did it take you to be able to understand and feel the benefits of bonding-based lovemaking?
Well, so my story was that my second husband didn't go for it. You know, it made sense to me right away. And we tried it, and there was too much trauma, and he really couldn't go there.
Okay.
That's, you know, my assessment at this point. So it took a while to find people to be willing, you know, like men that would be willing to do this with me. That was part of my journey, you know, being single and then finding people. And then I would find somebody and they would be somewhat, you know, bought into it. And I've had long enough experiences now where, and even with the shorter experiences, it was a pretty immediate benefit, you know, and my relationships have gotten way better and way more stable. And yeah, it's pretty, you can, and for the couples that we work with, they notice it within like 2 weeks to 2 months. It's very palpable. Yeah.
Okay. In your book, do you teach people how to do this?
I don't teach it in my book. I have a course. So Marnia, because Marnia has done such a great job on writing really the book on bonding-based lovemaking, and there is 21 days of exchanges is what they call it, ecstatic exchanges at the end of the book. So we use her book as the teaching material, and then I have supplemental, you know, things in my course.
Okay.
And Marnia doesn't teach. She doesn't, you know, she wrote the book, and she's very happy that I'm the one. She's in her 80s now. Yeah, so I recommend for everybody to read the book, because Marnie does such a great job explaining it. You know, there's no way I could do it any better, because she spent so much time researching and putting it all together, you know.
Okay, fabulous. Do you find, even after you teach this, most couples will do both, conventional and bonding-based?
No, because once you've switched over to the bonding-based lovemaking and you go back to the conventional, it doesn't feel good anymore. You really feel the difference. Just like when you start eating clean, you know, you start feeling how shitty it really feels to not eat clean. Yeah.
Really? Do you basically just have bonding-based lovemaking? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
as long as you can, like, it's harder for couples that don't spend every, or, you know, most of them, their days and nights together, then you, right. then it's a little bit more tricky.
Right.
But there's ways, you know, to even make it to those phases when you have long distance situations or where one partner has to go off for work.
Right.
But there's still ways to have lots of it in your life, you know, but ideally it's a practice that you, where you live together and that you share every day in your life.
Okay. It's really intriguing. And yes. I will write down Cupid's Poison Arrow.
Yeah,
Cupid's by Poison Marnia Arrow. Robinson.
Yeah.
And where can my listeners find you?
Best way is on Facebook or YouTube, and it's all in my name. I have a YouTube channel with lots of videos on this topic, just YouTube Carolyn Hauser. My Facebook is just Facebook Carolyn Hauser, and then my website is also just Carolyn Hauser. And I do have a free training on the 5 shifts to bring intimacy back. We're going to some of what we talked about a little more deeper.
Okay. I mean, can someone listening to this just on their own think, okay, let's, you know, I'm going to try this with my partner. We'll just slow things down and see if we can just accomplish this without an end. I suppose some people could do that. I don't know if they'll achieve it.
Yes, they could. It is a very personal journey, but I do think, like, really, like, before attempting this, anybody should read most of the book so that okay. they really have a lot of, like, backup. Okay. And I do think it's easier. Part of what I love about how we do it is we have a group. So we have a group of people and they share experiences with each other and they help each other, you know,
okay.
because it's such a new field and there's so little data.
Yeah,
it is really helpful when you can do it together with some support and, you know,
yeah.
some reference points and where you can bounce things off each other, even though we're talking about sex, you know, but still.
Yeah.
Most women, you know, are not satisfied in the way that they have sex and that's why they don't want it anymore. And when they get this is actually what feels really good because it's about connecting.
Right.
You know, and in the end, we all just want to connect. We just go about it in such different ways. And this is really the way that brings us together. That feels super sad. I mean, even women that say, oh, you know, I'm just not the touchy-feely type and I'm just not into it. After a little while, they'll be the ones saying, hey, you know, it's Thursday and we didn't make love yesterday. Like, what's wrong?
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, this has been really enlightening. And I want to thank you very much, Carolyn, for sharing this very interesting topic, bonding-based lovemaking with yeah. Carolyn Hauser.
Thanks for great questions. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and share it with your friends. And join us next time for Lunch with a Healer. Now you can share your thoughts with us. Your comments, questions, and suggestions are all welcome. Go to speakpipe.com/lunchwithahealer and record your message. Try it out today.